This is At Your Service, a series of GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service, highlighting programs and services intended to improve your quality of life. We here at GARS are delighted that this program is sponsored by the John and Mary Franklin Foundation. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Ken Traina, and joining us today on this episode of At Your Service is Sandra Rhodes Johnson. She is the Executive Director for the Georgia Council for the Hearing Impaired. Sandra, briefly, tell us what it is your agency does.
GACHI is a statewide agency that serves the deaf, the hard of hearing, the late deafened, the speech impaired, and the deaf blind throughout the state of Georgia.
Okay, and can you elaborate just a little bit on each of those things that you mentioned?
It's interesting that you would ask that because for those with hearing loss, there is really a broad spectrum of hearing loss among Georgians, ranging from mild hearing loss to profound deafness. I think deaf-blind is probably self-explanatory. And then those with speech impairment, oftentimes it's people who have had their larynx, their voice box taken out due to cancer or what have you, or some other medical issue that may impair their actual speech.
Okay. Exactly what is meant by late deafened?
Okay. Late deafened people are those folks that have had hearing at some level at some point in their lives, and they may have lost a certain range of their hearing. My mother would be an example. She has lost 50% of her hearing in both of her ears, and she would be considered in the category of elderly these days. So oftentimes you will find people who we consider late deafened to be our senior citizens.
Is this an agency that serves the entire state of Georgia?
That's correct. We have offices in Decatur, which serves metropolitan Atlanta. In the Rome area, we're in Cedartown, we're in Augusta, we're in Hinesville, which serves the Savannah area, and we are also in Columbus and Macon.
And how many people would you say do you work with on a regular or even an annual basis?
That's interesting. We have, I'm trying to think how many advocates we have working in our office. I can tell you that approximately 14% of Georgia's population on average, if we look at the national census and go by those numbers, at least 14% of the population is either deaf or hard of hearing in the state.
All right, Sandra, what would you say are some of the main causes of hearing loss?
Some people are born deaf. Some have experienced some medical occurrence, like a rheumatic fever or something of that nature that may have caused deafness, or meningitis often has been a cause of deafness when people have come into the world with some level of hearing.
And I'm guessing age is also a factor?
Age is the primary factor in those that are late deafened.
All right, Sandra, please tell our listeners about the services that your agency provides.
Okay, we offer a range of services, starting with, I like to tell people, we are the only place in the state that the deaf can obtain GED and adult basic education training, because our instructor, and we only have one right now, and we'd like to have more, and I will probably make an appeal before we get off the air, for funding for the agency as well. But we have one full-time teacher who is supplying the needs of the deaf for adult basic education and GED training throughout the entire state, which means that really the people who are in the metropolitan area have the greatest access to that individual. We also do advocacy, which I also like to tie in to public education so that the general public will have a better understanding of the needs of the deaf community. For advocacy, our people get out there. They do things like provide training on workforce preparedness. They are into ADA or Adults with Disabilities Act compliance issues. In fact, that takes up a huge portion of our time. One of the things that has amazed me since I've been on board with GACHI is how difficult it is for organizations to comply with the Adults with Disabilities Act requirements.
All right. What about in the Department of Employment? Do people with deafness or those with troubled hearing, do they find it more difficult becoming employed?
Well, you know, it's an interesting community and an interesting culture. Over the years, I think there has been a certain stigma that's been attached to deafness and to people being hard of hearing. I think one of the other things is that there are many, many, many misconceptions around the deaf population as opposed to the blind. I mean, both are disabilities, are classified as disabilities. But, you know, when a blind person walks into a room, you can immediately identify the fact that that individual is blind. And I think most people exhibit a certain compassion, immediately want to rush to the aid of that individual to help them to get to where they're going or do what they need to do. Deafness is more of what we like to call a hidden disability, because someone can't walk in the room and you immediately identify the fact that they're deaf. You can't immediately identify that they're deaf. The signs that you can tell that someone is deaf, you may see them actually signing in ASL, which is actually their language. And oftentimes when people see them sign, they think that the gestures that they're making are angry in nature, and that's not necessarily the case. Because they have no concept of what sound really is, particularly if they're profoundly deaf, they cannot judge the volume of what they're saying. And because they can't judge volume, oftentimes their voices may be a little bit louder than people might be accustomed to in normal conversation. And then because also they're not privy to, if you will, what proper grammar is like. The sounds that they make come across many times as utterances. They're difficult for people to understand, at least the hearing world. And because we haven't taken the time to learn ASL and communicate in their language, when they hear these utterances, they think that perhaps there's some mental incapacity, which nothing could be further from the truth. There is nothing that the deaf can do. I mean, maybe I should say the deaf can do anything but hear, given the opportunity. And I think it's really incumbent upon the hearing world now to be a little more understanding. Ideally, what I would like to see happen, and it's happening with a lot of our younger parents, is teaching children to sign as they come into this world and are growing up. There are some schools in this area who, as they're teaching children colors, they will teach them the ASL sign for the colors. As they're teaching them certain words, they'll teach them the corresponding sign for that. And there's a movement called baby signing, where babies can actually sign and communicate through signing before they can actually vocalize things.
I see. Does the Georgia Council for the Hearing Impaired also teach people how to sign, including those with hearing loss?
No, we have not been able to actually offer the ASL courses at GACI. It's something that we would like to do. And as I alluded earlier, probably one of our biggest challenges at GACI now is our funding. Our monies have come from the state primarily. Over the years, we run a program called the Telecommunications Equipment Distribution Program, or we refer to it as TEDP, where we provide assistive listening devices to the hard of hearing and the deaf. We provide things like the lights that attach to the doorbell so you can tell when someone is at your front door, telephones that make it easier for the hard of hearing and the deaf to use, because they may include some type of captioning as well as the voice portion of the phone. Monies for that program come from the Public Service Commission. And some of you may recall at one point there was money that was taken out of your phone bill if you had a landline that went toward a fund for these assistive listening devices. And people come in and they apply in the state of Georgia for these devices. And if they income qualify, they can receive these devices from us for free. And if they apply and they don't income qualify, they can receive them at a reduced rate simply because they've applied for these things with us.
All right, Sandra, can you relate to the listeners a specific instance where your agency helps someone move more swiftly through life with their hearing loss?
Well, we help people every day, but I think that some of our proudest moments come when one of our students who may have gone through a mainstream education program has tried to pass their high school graduation tests, and there are five of them that they have to take to be able to get a diploma. And they end up passing all five, so they can finally get a diploma. What happens with most of the deaf if they are put in a mainstream situation is that they go along a path where they are placed in a program that will only allow them to get a high school certificate. A high school certificate will not allow them to get certain jobs. It will not allow them to apply for college. And as I said, the deaf can do anything but hear, given the opportunity. And I think that some of the ones that I have come across have been some of the brightest people. And to be able to communicate and to make it in a hearing world speaks volumes for what they're capable of if we just give them the chance.
Where exactly would most people go for their formal training, and is there a referral process?
For people who need that specific references, we have what we call information and referral specialists that work in our office that, depending upon what your need was, you would call our office, and then they would identify the best place for you to go to fulfill that need.
And if we might pry a little bit, can you share with us some of your own personal goals?
Well, obviously, at the top of my list right now is the funding, because we have got to diversify our revenue sources. We will be experiencing a cut in our budget this year. And when I talk about advocating, we have a real need for advocating for the deaf in this state. They don't have a voice for themselves. And there are huge disparities in the amount of money that the state allocates toward blind services and toward deaf services. Now, we don't want to take money away from any other disability area, but we think that more needs to be put into this area so that we can help these people to become productive members of society. When I said we do the workforce readiness classes, we try and do things to help them prepare to adjust as seamlessly as possible in a regular work environment. In fact, I went to a session about a week ago with one of the vice presidents from Walgreens. And Walgreens has made a commitment to hire at least 40% disabled in all of their distribution centers. And I hope that that commitment will extend to other areas within the company as well. And I get the sense that that's happening at this point. And they are showing, those people that are working for Walgreens, that individuals with disabilities, regardless of what the disability is, can perform and perform at the same standards as an individual that has no disability.
All right, let's talk about life skills.
Things as simple as being able to go to the bank and open an account, and knowing how to keep up with that account, knowing how to file your taxes once you start working. Little things like that, things that we take for granted, are skills that we need to instill in the population that we're working with.
All right, Sandra, who are some of your partnering agencies or supporters?
We work with Georgia Lions Lighthouse, who provides free hearing aids, and that would be one of the first places that we would send the Heart of Hearing. We partner with domestic violence groups Because one of the things that people don't realize is that as a percentage of the population, the deaf tend to be victimized at much greater levels than the general population. We work with audiologists and their associations as well.
And how does your school system assist young students?
Well, if the school system can't, they will recommend that the children go to schools such as the Georgia School for the Deaf up in Cave Springs or the Atlanta Area School for the Deaf. There is also a school in Macon. There are several different schools that are specific to the disability throughout the state. If parents insist that they want their child to be mainstreamed, then the districts have a responsibility to fulfill the ADA requirements to ensure that that child gets the same level of learning that a child who does not have a disability does. Unfortunately, most of our districts don't do a great job at that.
All right, Ms. Rhodes Johnson, any final words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners or any additional information you think they need to know?
Well, one of the things that we really want to strive to do is to empower this community to be able to do things like even advocate for themselves in the long run. The advocacy piece, and it's unfortunate that sometimes people look at advocacy as if you're fighting against something, when the bottom line is you're really fighting for something if you're advocating for someone. I would strongly encourage them to contact us directly. And we have a website, which would be www.gachi.org, which is www.gachi.org. Or you can call our main number, which is 404-292-5312, which will handle voice or TTY. Or you can call our toll-free number if you're outside of the metro area at 1-800-541-0710, and that's our toll-free number. We also are one of the only places in the state that allows access to a public video phone for the deaf. They can come into our office, sign up, go back, and use one of the public video phones at no cost so that they can stay in communication with various people. And our office hours are 9 to 5, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
All right. Well, one last thing. What are your thoughts on our future? Do you see a world where eventually everyone will communicate universally?
I would hope so. When I say that having worked in this community now for 4 months, I've learned so very much. For instance, even if you sign an ASL, you can't communicate with every deaf person in the world. Because just like there are differences in our languages, there are differences in signing across different countries. But it's a good start.
All right. We've been speaking with Ms. Sandra Rhodes Johnson. She's the executive director for the Georgia Council for the Hearing Impaired. Ms. Rhodes Johnson, we thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to spend with us today. And for our listeners, you can contact the Georgia Council for the Hearing Impaired. Their phone number is 404-292-5312, or you can call 1-800-541-0710. Or you can visit their website at www.gachi.org. Again, those phone numbers, 404-292-5312, or you can call 1-800-541-0710. Or their website is www.gachi.org. Again, our many, many thanks go to Sandra Rhodes Johnson for joining us today. This has been At Your Service, sponsored by the John and Mary Franklin Foundation. My name is Ken Traina, and as always, thank you for listening to GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service.